I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Committee of the Whole to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Dandridge.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Rise during the pledge of allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item on the agenda is item A, concept review for proposed self-storage mini warehousing development, 6951 South Lovers Lane Road, known as Hugo's, or was known as Hugo's. There's been several restaurants that have been there over the years. I can remember a couple, I think, when I was chairman of the licensing committee. We're at that site. Mr. Deedle, do you have we have applicants with us tonight, and do you have slides or presentation? Do they?
I believe not. They were just going to use the materials in the common council packet.
Okay. I just wanted to comment on the materials in the packet. I don't know if everyone has it, but obviously with mini warehousing and development, I asked the applicant to supply the council with some letters, talking one from the New Berlin Police Department, one I think is in your packet from the Boy Scouts of America. A few years back, I'm looking at the applicant right now, Mr. Simic called me to go out and take a look at his property that's out on Moreland Road. And I literally drove right by it because it doesn't look like a warehousing facility at all. It looks just like a office building. And then when I went in and toured it, it was, my opinion, one of the cleanest, well-organized warehousing units I'd ever seen. Actually, I had no idea that people even made things like that. And what you have in your packet is a request to allow him to build his facility on the site where Hugo's is. I think the value of the property is about double what it currently is as far as taxation. It gets the city closer to the 70-30 goal. In your packets, I think there's a should be some renderings. Renderings, like I said, from the front, they resemble more of a office building. In fact, the slide that's in your packet here. I think you'd find this more in an office setting than you'd find it in a warehousing facility. He can talk more eloquently than I can, but one time I think you were looking to build in the business park, and I don't know what that was pre the economic collapse, global economic collapse, and then everything just changed all over the board. So he's here tonight to share with you what he'd like to build in Franklin, and look for kind of a thumbs up or thumbs down so that he's not wasting our time and we're not wasting his. And with that, if you would please come forward and please, up here, please. And if you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Alex Simic, and I'm the owner of Storage Master LLC. Would you like my personal address or the business address?
Personal would be good.
S110 W20758 South Danoon Road in Muskego, Wisconsin, 53151.
Only Muskego addresses are that crazy.
What I'm proposing tonight is really to build one of the largest and most aesthetically pleasing self-storage facilities in the state. Storage Master, I think, is the premier provider of self-storage in Wisconsin. And also, we'd like to introduce climate-controlled units into Franklin. Franklin's experienced significant growth over the last several years with the economic activity picking up and the new sewer lines going in. We assume there will be even more houses and businesses in the community. And currently, there is a severe shortage of self-storage in Franklin. We'd like to help provide a necessary service and also give you the best looking facility anywhere in southeastern Wisconsin. We tend to take a Walmart approach to providing self-storage, meaning we have friendly greeters or managers, full-time managers at the facilities. Yet behind the scenes, we're very sophisticated. We have surveillance, we have cameras, we have systems. We track everybody who's come in and out of the facility, how long they stay, so that if there were ever an issue, we could go back and get the details in terms of who is on the facility. I have to say, in my 15 years of operation, we've only had one incident. In terms of a potential or attempted theft, it was a tenant who didn't lock their unit. One of the other tenants tried to help themselves to the unlocked unit, and because of our security camera, we were able to identify who it was. So, in fact, we've never really had a theft at any of my facilities. We tend to try to provide a more upscale type of storage. We charge the same rates as other providers, so actually you'll be reducing the average cost of self-storage for cold storage or traditional storage in Franklin. But in addition to that, we'd like to offer climate-controlled storage so that if you have pianos, books, artwork, things that are more of a rare commodity or rare in nature, you'll be able to store those goods in a more climate-controlled environment.
I asked you, because we had some controversial issues with Hugo's and other things that went along with the other restaurants. I think the volleyball court, we put them under a pilot project and all that. I asked you to first meet with the alderman of the district and then to meet with the neighbors and with the alderman. And did you do that?
I did indeed. I met with Alderman Skoronski on a couple of occasions, invited him to tour the facility so he could see firsthand what was being proposed. Also met with several of the neighbors, residential as well as businesses, and I have yet to hear one complaint, concern that was voiced. If anything, what I was told was, compared to a potential restaurant and volleyball court site, self-storage is probably one of the quietest businesses that you can be in. On average, we get 4 to 5 visitors for every 100 tenants that we have on a daily basis, and that's over a 12-hour day. People typically bring their items into self-storage, leave it for 9 to 12 months, and then come and collect it when they move out. And in the interim, there's very little activity. So I think for the residences and the businesses around, it would have much less traffic than a restaurant.
Can you have some renderings for us? Or
Do indeed.
I think these are in the packet, right? Everyone. This is the storage facility that's out on Moreland Road, I think.
That is correct. This is Storage Master's Moreland Road facility in New Berlin. It's the largest self-storage facility in the state with about 200,000 square feet of space. There's also a picture of the couple of managers who run that facility, and as you can see, it looks more like a hotel lobby than it does a self-storage lobby. I should mention that I have a portable storage subsidiary called selfstorageonwheels.com. It's like Pods on Wheels, but at half the price, and basically it's enclosed contractor trailers. We park these in the rear of the New Berlin location. They're not even visible from the street. So there are about 50 of these parked in the back of my Moreland Road facility. And as you can see, this is part of the Moreland Road facility. There's another building here just to make most use of the space. When I submitted my plans to New Berlin, we had almost 1,000 pages of material for the construction budget, and by far I was told that was the most complete and thorough building presentation ever provided to the city. We had looked to do the same in Franklin, so there are no surprises. We look to offer really an upscale sort of business and meet a need in the community.
Alderman Taylor?
On that picture of the that one you held up with,
yep.
You're not having vehicles like that parking on Lover's Lane, right?
No, this would be in the back, so you wouldn't be able to even see it from Lover's Lane.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Skoronski?
Yeah, I surveyed the adjoining property and business. Sacred Heart Provincial Office has no, and they recommended fine. I personally talked with the CFO, and the Whitnall Grove Condominium Association showed it to the president of the board of directors, and he showed it to his board, and they're completely in harmony and said it's great. They're looking forward to it. Even the hotel on the side is very encouraged about having that. So I give 100% for what he has done. I've talked with him. I did my research on his business, and it's an excellent business. It'll be a credit to this community. And I talked to the Whitnall apartments across in Loretta, and she's very encouraged about that because that is the largest apartment project in the city. They look forward to it because they don't all need storage, and that's always a great amenity, and it's right across the street. So it's it'll be very good for the community.
I knew, and Mr. Simic knew that he was going to be on the same night as the budget coming in, and so I asked him to put things in your terms. And I think one of the things in the packet is the revenue that would be generated from this would equate to one full-time public health nurse, or I'm just going to guess there might be some discussion about an economic development director or something like that tonight. It would be some funds that would go towards that. Again, I think if you talk to the people in New Berlin, you do have a letter from the police chief from there. There's literally been zero problems that have occurred with the facility out there. And if you take a ride down Moreland Road, take a look to your left, like I did, I'm sure you're going to drive right by it because it doesn't look like a storage facility. So with that, Mr. Simic is looking for some direction. Should he continue to spend some money and move forward with this project, or is this something that's dead on arrival? Yeah. Alderman Taylor?
Well, when I heard that this was coming forward, I figured, oh boy, this is not going to be good. And so I've tried to find a reason to not like this, and I haven't come up with one yet. So it looks nice. That Alderman Skronsky went and talked to the neighbors. That's always a concern, and
they're 100%.
They're 100% behind it. It's nice looking building. And I mean, we've had how many restaurants try that location that have failed? It's just everybody in Franklin, if we're all rooftops, and they leave for the day, and there's so many other places to go. So for lunchtime, you talk to our local businesses, that's where they're struggling. So I think this would be a good addition to the community.
You did scare me when you said you'd take a Walmart approach, though. I wasn't sure where that was going.
A more sophisticated approach.
Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, I'm 100% in favor, and I hope my colleagues will give the nod for you can proceed and get things going. The building will be removed. That's there now, Hugo's. And then the new building will come up.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, given the history of the restaurants who have tried to survive there, it never seemed to be quite the ideal location for an eatery. And I think what you have here is something that is a business that will really fit into the natural landscape there and be of far more utility than what the restaurants had attempted to do.
Anyone else? Is there anyone have an objection to moving forward? Okay, I would kind of see that as a green light.
Thank you very much for your time, and I wish you better luck than the federal government in passing your budget this evening.
Oh, they'll do it. That's a lot of
thanks, Alex.
They're probably already having a beer at a bar right now together. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing your business to Franklin. Okay, I'm going to move down to item C, just to take care of some, I don't know what's the appropriate thing. I think we've done it. It's here. It's okay, Mayor, forget it. And we're moving on, and we're going to fill the positions. And tomorrow night you've got a number of people that should be in front of you to fill some of those positions. So,
I think you covered it, Mayor.
Okay. Well, good. Then I can leave early then. I have in the past, when we moved the budget process from the Finance Committee to the Council, when I was finished with my budget, my recommended budget. I would then send it to the Finance Committee. And today, instead of the Finance Committee, it's being sent to the Council just like it was last year. I will depart and let you have at the budget. I just want to say this. We're talking about a multi-million-dollar budget. It's taken many, many months of work. It may not look like it, but, well, I don't know. Mr. Liberta's got boxes and boxes, and Paul's, he looks like he's aged a few years in the process. I know that I probably have just about drove both of these guys crazy with some of the things I've asked them to include in the budget. But I'm just going to say this, and that's that the ordinance, which I guess I created, that said that the mayor has to prepare the budget, was intended to give you a budget that works, that staffs the city, that we have so we have police officers, we have firefighters, adequate numbers to make sure that we can handle emergencies. We have a fully functional health department. We have Mr. Liberta that takes care of facilities maintenance. We have Jerry Schaefer and his crew that make sure that the roads are plowed, the buildings are secure, and all of those things. There are three things in this budget that I guess I put them in a category of controversial, or yeah, I guess that. One is I don't know how many times I'm going to say this, but obviously I'm leaving, so I just have this thing about having been a former steward. I just want to kind of make sure that I'm sending the right signals to you to just make sure that the place is in good shape, and it's going to be in good shape for a few more years. And so I'm indicating that I think it would be a good idea for this council and this budget to start looking at other ways of staffing your water and your sewer department for a whole host of reasons. One is we have long-tenured employees that I call key personnel, just like in any organization, that if they leave, you may find that you haven't had to ask a lot of questions about the water department in the past. All of a sudden, you've got 1,000 of them. The other reason is it's no big secret that there's been a lot of discussion about running water from Oak Creek to Waukesha, and there's been a lot of discussion about creation of maybe a water authority. If, in fact, a water authority was created, one of the first things I think your potential partners would want to see is they want to see the books. They want to see how many employees are dedicated to the water department and how many employees you have that are hybrids that kind of go back and forth between DPW and the water department. And before they would ever allow an entity into a water authority. So this isn't something I'm asking you to act on in the budget. I'm just sort of putting a warning out there that I think it would be good for you to start to think about those things. Then we have the director of administration position, looking at a reclassification. Really what this it would be putting in place what was in place when Gary Petrie was here. The council, after Mr. Petrie left, decided that they wanted to have a person that was much more well-versed in personnel matters. And I think the reason for that is there were a lot of things that just weren't done. I don't know whose fault it was, but just things weren't put in place, like work rules and policies, and there were contracts, but the contracts, the collective bargaining agreements that were in place were not solid and well-worked and professional, etc. Well, my opinion is we've got to that because we've got a great person in Mark Liberta. The other thing is we've had two referendum questions on the creation of a full-time mayor position. As Alderman Taylor knows, I have never supported that. But I think in one of, somehow I see you were sitting over there, maybe you weren't, saying that, well, okay, so Tom's been doing this stuff on a day-to-day basis. All right, what happens when Tom leaves? Okay, well, Tom's leaving. And so the departments for the major decisions have been reporting directly to me, all the department heads. Now, I've been so gifted, or I should say, so blessed to have the types of department heads that I've had that, you know, most of the time they're running their departments all by themselves, and it's like they're in their own businesses. But, you know, today the chief and I were going back and forth on an issue with, you know, email, and we just talked about something. We have meetings twice a week. Things come up over at the police department, et cetera, et cetera. It's contact is with me and the chief. And I'm not so sure that with as far as the police department and the fire department that there would be any change, because state law mandates that the department head is the mayor. But nonetheless, there's a lot of give and take, lots of emails, lots of correspondence, things that go on during the day. Another thing is, I don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, I'm on the board of directors, and the mayor of this city will be on the board of directors of MADAC, Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Center. And the meetings are not at night. They're during the day. When there's an issue at the county board, it's not at night. Most of the time, it's during the day. When you're going to go lobby the state legislature, it's not at night. It's during the day. I haven't had to go to Washington, but I'll tell you, the way things are going, I could see all the mayors in this country going to Washington pretty soon. And those meetings are during the day. When business wants to meet with you, it's during the day. So, you know, I'm sort of, say, there might be a hole where things are just not going to get done as smoothly as they have been in the past, i.e., you've got a very, very bright, terrific director of administration who's handled a lot of things in Kenosha and Caledonia. I think you ran Caledonia, right? If I remember. And I'm the guy that reorganized the city and pushed for the reorganization of the city because I did not like a city administrator that had what I'd call policy-making authority. I think the people want an elected person in place, an elected body that's going to make the policy decisions. But when it comes to taking care of the day-to-day operations of the city, some of that stuff probably can be done by a professional administrator. So that's kind of the two big items that are in the budget. And again, I think the other thing that's in the budget is the council. I would advise the council that you need to start looking at getting things done in different ways. Now, we've had a consolidation report that was put together by Public Policy Forum. Is it ripe today? Is everybody wanting to do it? Nope. But let's say the economy goes south again, and or let's say Chris Abley changes his mind and says you're not getting anything in the budget for paramedic services. In fact, we're going to start charging you municipalities for taking care of for us handling training and all that stuff. Okay, we may want to get out of there. We may want to go with a hospital like Wheaton Franciscan. I mean, I've said this openly to the county executive that we have looked at that. And I had meetings with Wheaton and the city of Oak Creek and Greenfield, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe in Cudahy, South Milwaukee, there's a study being conducted, almost going to be completed by the Public Policy Forum, looking at another consolidation effort. North Shore Fire Departments could go out and do their own thing. City of Milwaukee could say we're not going to play anymore. And so the whole point is I think the way that you staff and you operate municipal governments in this area is going to change, and it's going to change rapidly. So I just want you to start thinking about it, and I wanted to put that into the budget document. Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor, for all your insight on this. I appreciate it. I got a few questions, though, about the process, because, like, I want to maybe discuss a few things, but I'm not prepared to make any recommendations or amendments, you know, tonight into tomorrow, because if I recall last year, we put out the mayor's budget as presented in terms of the public hearing, and then after that public hearing, when it came to the Common Council, then that's when we made changes. Is that correct? Because we did not do a bunch of amendments or additions or subtractions at this stage last year.
Correct, but you went through each department. So I believe that at this meeting is where you called department by department to see if any of the other aldermen had any questions on anything. And at that point, there were really no major issues that you had, so you made no recommendations to the change for what was presented at the budget hearing. But the intent of the budget process and the discussion you had last year, it wasn't really to save all the debate until after the hearing was done. That most of your discussion occurred at this meeting where you went through, and I believe you called out each department to see who had questions on anything.
Well, that's not what I recall at all. I remember it was...
I want to get out of here.
All right.
Because I think you're going to start getting into it.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. Appreciate it.
I just want to, again, it would be really selfish, very, very selfish on my part to say, hey, I'd like to see you pass everything that's in that budget and, you know, all the periods and commas and paragraphs and all that. I'm leaving. It's your budget. It's your you're in charge. And so I think you have to be comfortable with whatever budget you're going to craft. I think we have a document. It works. It's a 0% tax levy increase. Could have went higher. Decided that because of the reassessments I think the people really would like to see some tax breaks. And you should have, the people should see a break in their city services. So, and their city amount.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, then what I'll do is I have a list of things that I'd be willing to discuss that I'm contemplating. But like I said, I'm not going to make any of those changes tonight. So before I would get into that, I'll open it up to I see Alderman Wilhelm has her hand up first. And
well, I just want to say that we got this at the last council meeting without having any chance. And I have yet to get through it. From back there, the tabs and stuff I've had on my book here. I've been working my way really diligently through this, but I'm not quite to the very end. I have pretty much skimmed the whole thing, but I like to read everything. Had quite a few questions today that were answered. So I would be a little more comfortable being able to have a chance to finish the entire budget before I, you know, place my final comments on it. So.
Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I've had my discussion with all the department heads already, and they're fine. They're
what they see. Okay.
Well,
Andrew?
I mean, I guess Dan and myself, we're the new guys on the block. If we want, I don't know how far you want to go. If we've got line items that we want to at least talk to the department heads, the department heads are here to at least go through what they've prepared. That may answer some of the questions that we've got so far, and we don't get through everything. And then we push it forward to another meeting.
Okay. Alderman Mayor.
Actually, I agree with Mark to an extent, but I think maybe if we have questions of the department heads, it might expedite things a little bit rather than They've all done a very good job in putting their budget forward. I think we've got a pretty good thing. If we have questions of the departments, maybe we should start with that. Just a thought.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt?
Well, I had a couple of brief conversations with Mr. Liberta, and I feel that most of the things that I've gone through seem to be accounted for, that the budget makes sense to me, and I don't really have too many objections at this point.
Mr. Liberta?
I can start the discussion with one thing we have placed at your tables today that I think staff would suggest you look at and consider, and that's this packet. It says Capital Improvement Fund. In discussions with Alderman Wilhelm, she had a number of questions on some of the items, and I sort of realized that part of it was we've followed a sort of a historic layout on the descriptions in the page, and realized it wasn't as clear and organized in that section as it could be. So we redid that section to make sure the text sort of followed the same order of the projects in the small print table. And we tried to cross-reference some of the numbers back over into that text. So in reading the very brief descriptions of the projects, you could see where the funding for the project was and what the cost was. We also corrected and clarified some of the line items relative to the sidewalk projects that we've had some issues with over the last year and getting the right numbers in place. And historically, if a CDBG project didn't have any city money, it wasn't in here, and we decided we really should include all the projects so that the aldermen and the citizens were aware that there is a project, even though there's no city money going to it. So you'll see we did add the Minnesota to Rawson project in that line item. So we tried to redo that section for you to make it read more clearly and have the graph follow the text. But there's no, other than adding the CDBG project in, which is fully funded, there's no substantive change in the project to the bottom line. But we think if you refer to these pages, 106 through 110, instead of the ones in your packet, it'll probably be a little easier for you to track them.
I'm going to start with maybe a few questions, and then we can there. That's all right, everyone? Sorry, my voice. I got a little call or something in the hospital visiting my wife, so I've been haven't recovered from that. In terms of last year's budget, where do we stand and on this year's budget, on 2012? Are we running a surplus? Are we looking at Paul?
The Finance Committee just reviewed the second quarter statements at their most recent meeting, and while the city general fund is showing a little over $1.1 million surplus at this time relative to where we thought we would be, most of that is on tax collections, and that surplus won't stand by the time we get through the end of August. So we're running a small surplus. We're running a surplus to our original plan, probably in the $300,000 to $400,000 range.
One of the things in this budget that I've seen, I'll start with threats, which is on page 3. If you want page 3, which is it's page number 3, but you have to go in a little bit because I think the mayor's letter has its own pages. So the actual page 3 on the bottom. It's opportunities and threats facing the current and future year's budget. I have an issue with the third bullet point, municipal property tax levy limits limited to larger of new construction or growth or 0%. It's tough to put that in as a threat when we have the ability to raise $200,000 in levy and we choose not to. So on one hand, you're producing a 0% budget, which I appreciate. But at the same time, why would you put that as a threat when you're actually choosing to not use that ability? Because once you don't use it this year, the next year, the following year's budget, and the following year after that, you're actually going off the levy for that year. You can't go back in time and say, well, we actually had $200,000. We wish we would have used it in 2014. So why do we put that in as a threat when we're making a decision, or at least the administration is making a decision to produce a budget that's not tapping into that, which by state law you could?
A couple answers. Just to clarify the state law, they actually did revise it so that you can go back and garner a little bit of the old portion. I think you can get 0.5% with a simple vote and up to 1.5% or 1% with a supermajority vote. So it isn't all lost.
So 20,000 out of 200,000 with a supermajority, we go back.
I think for this year's number, in addition to the 200, I think I reported there was about 86,000 of last year's unused capacity that we would be able to get if you wanted to.
A portion of that.
That's the portion of last year's unused capacity that.
And then, based on that, let's say this turned out to be, you know, this 200,000. If we're sitting here next year this time, what would that number be? Would that be in the same ballpark?
I haven't ran that number, but right around the same ballpark, yeah.
Because I mean, at some point you get in a pinch, as in health care costs go up, as employment, we're 80% employees, so that's the only, so it's either getting lumped, doing layoffs like we've done the last 5 years, or I mean, you can't go back. So, I mean, when you have that as a threat, it's kind of hypocritical in a way, because we have the opportunity to do it. We're choosing not to. So then it's really not a threat if you have a choice.
Well, I think you sort of answered the question for me. It's that future pinch. That's where the threat is. We were able, because of some of the conditions in this specific calendar year, okay, to be able to not have that sort of rear its head and become an immediate problem.
I think you get my
point.
But
beginning for 2015, that will be more of a problem because of some of the changes that we benefited from this year, particularly a change in rating up at the Wisconsin Retirement System had some significant changes for us. So we garnered some good savings in our OPEB costs, the other post-employee benefit costs, because of the changes we've done in the health plan over the years, had a residual effect of reducing the cost of OPEBs. That's a sort of a one-shot deal this year. We won't redo that study for another 3 years, and so it's there every other year, but it's not likely to help us next year. So for next year, that is, I believe, a very realistic threat, okay, where the amount of capacity you have without substantial growth could lead the normal growth in existing service levels to exceed that capacity.
Thank you. As I mentioned, we're 80%, roughly 80% payroll. Is that correct?
Approximately
79. Yeah. So we're in the, and every, when I started, I think we were maybe 76%, I believe. So it's kind of increased as we've gone. And here we have, entry level, at least recommended, an entry level human resource position, and reclassifying the HR coordinator. And the way I read it was, we're using the money that was going to go to Cal. Is that correct? That's going to now go to these positions. Am I right or wrong on that?
Not Cal per se. If you recall, position, when we did the finance director and finance department restructuring, we anticipated after Cal's retirement that there would be a position such as Paul's current title, a deputy, that would be filled, and there would always be two. With the new financial software system and Paul having had a good year to take a run at the job and grasp what there, he's confident that that department can pull it off with the one person. So we're looking to redesignate and move those appropriations over from the finance side to the admin side to support what has become a burgeoning non-represented group with the elimination of the union.
Did we think that that position, the maybe part of help that in that department, the treasurer's office or the finance office, that was going to be for 1 year after Cal was gone, or was it going to be, was envisioned having two people?
When it was presented to you, it was envisioned having two people. Cal, for a number of years before that, had always requested an assistant to be able to get what he felt was the complete workload of the department done. So when we presented it to you, we presented it that, you know, that's how we're setting it up for the transition, and we're hopeful it will continue that way in the future. So that's why the appropriations were.
I'm not there yet on those two positions, but maybe I can get there. When it comes to the part-time sanitarian, you know, in the notes it said, well, it's self-funded. Well, that's revenue. That's revenue that would come into the city. That would go somewhere. It's revenue that's coming in now, and now we'd be filling that position. Same thing with an inspection position. It's self-funded, but that still would be revenue to the department or to the city. Is that correct? And now that's going to be more bodies.
Yes, but let me handle those one at a time, okay, if I can. On the health side, right now the revenue that we get from it funds a contract.
We're not doing the contract anymore?
No.
We're doing away from that.
This will go away from the contract and give better control and management of it.
So we're not doing any work with Greenfield anymore. We're just going to be just internal.
That was the health director's proposal, yes.
And we get one more day out of it. That's what it is. Basically works out to be based in the...
Yes.
Okay.
And then on the...
Inspection?
The building inspection side, it is revenue, but frankly... This year alone, for example, the department can barely keep up with the workload. And in fact, it's fair to say that there's a backlog, particularly with some of the larger projects. The school project over the course of the much of the next year is going to have constant inspections, as is the hospital project. In both of those areas, the statutes prescribe that you're not supposed to set the fees such that you have an end. Such that you're making it a profit center. Doesn't mean you can't have fees that generate excess revenues over expenditures. You just have to be careful how your intent and how you set it up. So you usually, what you're able to do under the statute is say, we expect this many building permits and the revenue from it, that's how much we're setting our fees based on. We know permits are permit activity is going up, the workload is going up. We, as a department, we will have trouble meeting your service demands of that. I know you hold us to when people call and say, "Where's my permit?" Without expansion in that. As you know, you recently approved a budget modification for this year that sets up adding a halftime person through March. And so, what this budget does is anticipates that when we get to the end of March and early in the year, we'll be able to review the actual permit revenue received, how things are going, and then we'll look at the ability to fill that and move it from a part-time to the full-time that's set in there. So it was set up as sort of a six-month trial at the halftime.
I got two more questions or points, and then we'll turn over to anybody else who have questions, and that's probably the simplest way to do it. I asked Mark earlier regarding the paramedic fees, because in the past the county board used to provide $3 million that was split up amongst all the municipalities. Then a couple years ago, the county exec made $0. The county board went in and put $1.5 million, so the municipalities were getting half of what they used to get. Last year, the county exec put that $1.5 million in again. The county board put another $500,000 in, which resulted in another $41,000 in revenue to the city. That's not going to happen this year. I don't see any supervisors making any moves whatsoever to do that. Let's just say that you have elected officials that are not happy with certain host communities and mayors, and we'll leave it at that. So that $41,000 is not probably going to come to us. So that was revenue we received last year that I don't think we can expect this year. So that's just, I think, for this body's information, because that was, you know, was unexpected, as you know, you said in the email to me. We didn't plan for it because this document was put in place before the county board passed their budget. So actually, I passed the budget on the county board on a Monday, and then we came here and passed our budget the following day, so I could have come in, and I think I said, well, we're getting some additional money. Not sure how much. We didn't have that figured out. So that's one point. The second thing is we kind of touched this on this last year a little bit, changing the role of the director of administration. The body, you know, the Common Council didn't support doing it last year. I think we all received the memo dated September 27th where there's 10 different points. Some of them I agree with, some of them I'm not sure of. I would recommend before we change, make any changes, pick up the phone and call your neighbor. Call Mayor Scafidi, call Alderman Gale, call Alderman Bukavich. See how they like the setup that's being recommended here. You may get a little different impression. This is business. This is never personal, what we do up here. You know that. But I have a tough time taking any type of authority away from elected officials and put it in the hands of a bureaucrat. And like I said, no offense in calling you a bureaucrat, but that's the way I look at it. So there are some changes in here that I think are probably doable. You know, I'm not sure when's the last time, in terms of your contract, I don't remember when's the last time it's come before this body for us to look at in terms of, you know, is it a one-year renewal? Is it every year it gets renewed?
You renewed it as part of the change to the finance department, which would have been a little over a year ago.
Okay.
And I think it comes up end of next June.
It's your contract. You should know when it comes up. But, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't recall last time we looked at that. I don't know if any of these, maybe you have the answer, if any of these changes mean more compensation. Is that what we're doing here also?
I fully anticipate one of the major pieces, I think, in this budget is the recommended funding for the classification study. So I fully anticipate that if those changes listed in that memo were incorporated, that would just be part of the consideration of the consultant and the classification study. And I would not anticipate that it meant an immediate change, or depending on how the classification study worked, if it meant any change at all.
Right. And I know it's in a difficult position because your office is doing it, and, you know, I mean, so we've looked at that in the past. But my point is I think before you start implementing all these changes that you talk to your cohorts in Oak Creek, because I remember at a prior meeting we were criticized a little bit for comparing ourselves to Oak Creek. Well, that's what we're doing right here. I mean, we're like, we can't pick and choose when we want to be like Oak Creek, when we don't want to be like Oak Creek. You know, so we're not the same municipality, but we have a very similar population and a very similar economics. So we need to, you know, we can't get slapped when we say that, hey, they're doing something way better than we are, and then say, on the other hand, we need to do this because it's working there. Well, before you do it, I think you need to have those conversations. Like I said, that's, I don't, and the last point is, this does not need to be a part of the budget. This, to me, is you know, policymakers, you know, executives do this all the time. They take an item that does not need to be in a budget document and include it. This does not need to be in the budget. This should be a standalone item. And I'll definitely make a motion to take this out and do this separately. Because it's really, like you said, there's no economic impact. It has no reason to be in the budget. If we've put money aside to do a reclassification, I don't think we have to rush this in the next month. I think this is something that we can take care of the budget and then look at this separately. Plus, you know, the mayor's gone on record saying he's not running again. You're going to, you know, you don't know what type of candidates, what type of person is going to win that position. They should have some say in whether or not these changes should happen. You may have a person that only can put in 10 hours a week. They may think this is the greatest thing. Then again, you may have a person that's willing to dedicate 50, 60 hours a week. And they may say, no, it's worked this way in the past. Let's leave it the way it is. That's why they think this is a separate, standalone issue. And the mayor is absolutely correct. It went to referendum twice and failed. I was one that pushed for it to go to referendum. But I don't think the general public really knows how much effort the mayor puts in. But at the same time, the voters they talk to their neighbors. They've called us and said, what do you think? And they made a vote. And so they've said loud and clear they want this to be a part-time position. So if they get a person that puts in 10 hours a week, that's the, what they said is okay. So I don't think, like, this to me should be separate from the budget. So I'll be making that motion when we get to that to remove it, because I think we, before we start making some major changes, you need to take a look at who's sitting in that chair next to see if they have any agreement, because you don't want to set up the next guy to fail. That's all. Thank you. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I had a lot of the same comments, so I can shorten mine up a little bit. I wanted to know about the funding classification and comp study, which was mentioned, that he just mentioned as well, what the cost we're expecting of that is, where it's at in the budget.
What was put in the budget document was $40,000. If you saw the large report that went to the personnel committee at their last meeting, it discussed a range depending upon what you put in the scope of anywhere between $20,000 and $50,000, because that would be a classification and compensation study. The personnel committee has recommended to you to pursue the classification study up front, and after receipt of that, to evaluate whether you want to do the compensation study with the consultant externally or have that done internally, because they were focusing primarily on other public sector comparables, because there's some very good data from a Wauwatosa study that was already being prepared, and we have full access to that data because of our participation in it. So that being the case, you're probably looking at the classification portion of the study being in the neighborhood of about $20,000.
So if this were to come out, the section that he says he didn't think is in the budget is necessary, you would still want to keep your $40,000 in there in case it went that direction?
I would recommend that, because what the personnel committee said was separate the classification study from the compensation study. And in the report, I said a lot of people contract and do them at the same time through one contract, but they can definitely be separated. And the personnel committee's recommendation to you was to separate them. So you may still need it when you get to June, if the study's the classification portion is done by then. You may decide, you know what, we want to have an independent person do this, not have it done internally. And then you would still have the appropriation available.
Well, it's too bad there aren't more people in the audience that are actually going to be paying for these things that are in the budget. I noted the reinstatements of positions, which I kind of understand that, but I do have concerns with it. I'm fine with the police officer. We have one police officer. And then but this is what we have as a list: one police officer, one assistant building inspector, one entry-level HR, and 1.6 sanitarian. That's quite a bit of increase in 1 year. So I do have concerns, especially when I look at the long-term funding of some of the funds, and that when I read it says this isn't going to meet the full-time or long-term needs of this in just about every category, the funds are underfunded. So can you talk to me a little bit about the deferring cost and some of the things that, how are we going to make up these areas in the future when they're already underfunded? And do you have any ideas for that?
Most of the, like the equipment replacement fund, the street improvement fund, those are underfunded from a full level of support. One thing we have that a number of communities don't is the fact that we plan ahead and have that fund set up to begin with. So we have a leg up. You know, if you look at our OPEBs, for example, most of the communities around are not fully funding their OPEB liability the way we are. So in many respects, we're ahead of those other communities. So while we're in the current, still in the economic slump that we are, I think it's hard to make significant progress on things like enhancing the equipment replacement fund and the road street improvement. We do have increases this year in the street improvement fund. So we've made some progress in that regard. But until the economy really makes strides and gets moving again, I don't see you making significant gains to where all your funds are fully sustainable from that level of an accountant's perspective of funding. At the same time, I think those are still fairly well managed. We plan ahead. We know where we are on them. We know where the bumps in the road are coming. Just like your own sort of deferred maintenance at home, you have an old dryer and you wish you had a new one, but you keep that old dryer a little longer. So that's one reason jacked people go out and keep track of the status of the roads so that he can try and stay ahead of them, and he knows where the blips in road maintenance are coming. You know, you may find yourself, you know, 8-10 years in the future having to say, you know what, this year we're going to have to bond and borrow and do a nice shot in the arm to catch the roads up. So those are longer term things, but coming out of the sort of 2008 through now slump that we've been doing, where it's been a cutback period just about that whole time, I think we're doing well to keep things funded to the level that we have and haven't substantially lost ground or had to terminate some of those funds to use the fund balance for other operating purposes. That's where you would have had a problem. We haven't had to do that.
And one thing, Alderman Wheeler, remember when we had the issue with the business park with the TIF, when we closed it out, instead of putting it all towards relief, the recommendation was to put some money into revolving equipment and put some money into the roads program, because you looked at that they were having some issues, and by pumping that money in, it's given us some longevity to be able to get a lot of projects done in the next 10 years or so, I believe, 7-8 years, it goes out that far. So if you take a look at last year or 2 years ago this time, some of those funds were in really big, tough times. We put $250,000 in one and maybe $150,000 or $100,000 in another. Instead of doing relief, we took that tax increment from the closing of the TIF and put it in those funds. So that was a decision that this body made 2 years ago, I believe, and that's helped shore up those, or else they would have ran out of money, and then we'd be like a lot of communities, just borrowing every single year. And so when you have to do an ambulance, which is not a cheap date, and everything else, a fire truck, we plan for that. So sorry about that. Hold on, continue.
Well, one of the things in the opportunities, it talks about this billing for the fire protection out of the water utility, charging it directly to the people, the other half of it. This is real similar to what we did with the garbage. Instead of raising to cover the garbage, we pulled the garbage out and made that a separate fee. And we seem to be putting more of these fees on the taxpayers. It doesn't look like it's, you know, city taxes that are going up, but yet they still end up paying just as much or more because of these added fees. So I'm not really in favor of continuing to do that. I don't think this is being recommended this time around. You're just pointing this out.
Right, and admittedly, that's carryover language that's been in there for a number of years. And the state's new law put a real block in front of making that much of a valid opportunity, because anything new you move into that area increases, you then have to count any increases you have in that fee against your property tax increase that you would have. So that switch that we made a couple of years ago on the garbage fee, the state has
banned us from doing that again.
Put a block in front of doing that in other certain functional areas, and I believe this is one of those itemized areas.
When we talk about the positions that we want to reinstate, I didn't note the mention of the economic development director position, so talk to me about that position a little bit.
There wasn't one recommended by the mayor in his proposed budget.
And that's something that this council has been supporting.
Well, he did recognize that, again, I can't speak for the mayor directly, but he anticipated that there would be some guidance from a task force that was completed prior to his budget. One of the documents that we provided at the early stages of that indicated there was a broad spectrum of the nature of the position, of how it could be, which would translate to a broad spectrum of potential costs, including where those costs fell, what were operating, what were potentially being paid for by the out of CDA revenues or TIF revenues. So not wanting to, on this particular topic, box you in any regard, he left it as a unspecified in the budget. But, if you get into it and you're looking for resources, that's where Paul and I are here to help you figure out how to find additional money, if that's what you're looking to do.
I think maybe for the next time we get together, I would like to see some options on funding that position, at least to a part-time level. So we're not just waiting till after we pass the budget and then struggling to try to put something like that back in. And maybe we won't be needing it, but, we're looking at all these other positions, but yet we're not doing the one thing that everyone claims we need to do so hard, and that's the economic development portion. So I'd like to thank you for putting together these new sheets that clarify this. From what I look at here, they seem to make all the changes and clarifications that really help me understand a lot better on where those funds are going. And all your time, both of you, gave to me on answering my questions was very appreciated. I think that I do have a few more, but I don't need to sit here. These are just simple things that you can probably answer between now and the rest of the time.
Thank you, Alderman. And I think when it comes to the Economic Development Director, and I'm sure Alderman D'Andrea will want to maybe get into a little bit, you want to pay for the HR position? You want to pay for reclassifications? You want to add another building inspector? Getting a person in that position is going to help us. And, we need to figure out a way to fund that. And I don't like the idea of taking, part of it's out of a, we discussed maybe out of a TID or a TIF, part of that. But then taking money from, let's say, those who staff CDA or who staff Ford Frank, or taking money out of the attorney's office, who at the end of the day, everything lands on his desk anyway. And I know he'll say that's just a part of the job. But the reality is I'm not comfortable with taking money out of that department when a lot happens around the clock there when things blow up. So, before we start looking at getting money from that area, I'm okay with the TIF, being partially funded out of there, because I think we can by law, so why wouldn't you? But then we need to look at where else we could get it, because that, I think, if this task force, the council said they won a position, the task force has been created. We kind of got our act together 2 weeks ago. Names have been put forward. The mayor's doing what we asked him. So we're all on the same page now. Mark's going to be on that committee. We had Craig Haskins in the audience. They're going to come up with something. We're going to figure out a type of position. We're going to say, go find that person, and maybe in the first quarter or start of the second quarter, we have a body. So we need to have some money put aside for that. So we're not, like Alderman Willem said, scrambling down the road. Mark?
I might suggest then, obviously, if you don't think you can, give us any greater direction today, we'll respond at the time you've sort of worked it out. But if that's a discussion you could spend a little more time on and give us some idea of the amount of money you would be looking for, because, for example, like Alderman Wilhelm mentioned, a part-time position, whereas if a majority were looking for a full-time, that would change the number pretty dramatically. Similarly, having some idea of the nature of the job, for example, if you're looking for that salesman who's the real estate professional, you might be talking more about a $100,000 to $110,000 job, right, or more. But if you're looking for someone who's doing marketing and promotion and good database development, then you're maybe looking in the $70,000 to $80,000 range. Again, Paul and I, for your next meeting, can pull some numbers together, but it'd be nice to have a target to aim toward.
Well, I know that Alderman Schmidt has some questions that, but I would, as long as we're on this topic, maybe Alderman D'Andrea, you want to maybe, I mean, you're the one that's going to be heading this task force. You may have some ideas, or even offline, you guys can communicate and have some numbers or examples next time. But Mark?
That's right, Steve. Right now, Craig and I have not met, and we don't know what the task force is going to look like. But we're envisioning that it's going to be a very strong salesperson-minded individual that's going to go out and market the city and try to attract businesses from around the five-county area, as well as try to go into northern Illinois and try to attract businesses that way. But the mayor also spoke about what's our vision for the future. And this, the task force is wonderful, but this individual is going to need something to be able to sell. And so we need to look forward to what we're going to do to make something available. So, we're looking at a 1% growth in this city, and we want to add staff to 2009 numbers. I'm trying to, in a corporation, I would never be able to increase staff with a 0.98% growth. I'm sorry, you guys, this is not the way it is out there in the real world, okay? And then, what's the forecast? We said we've got all these projects in mind, and I look at your, we can go back to your building inspection page 232 and look at number of inspections and permits pulled. It's not a dramatic increase to justify, just that one, that person alone. So I'm wondering, where's the cost justification for these increases in these personnel? I look at the police department. I'm looking, okay, we don't want to be a ticket writing company, but we do have to have revenue generated out there, and we look at revenues actually going down projected. So I want an accurate budget, but I also want to see justifications for those increase in personnel out there, and not just words. I got to see the numbers, and the numbers weren't necessarily reflected in my analysis. Not to justify a half time or a full time person. In regards to this task force individual, it's too early because I don't even know where that's going at this point. I'm envisioning that it's probably going to be second half of next year that individual will come into play. Okay, I think by the time the descriptions are written and then we start to put everything together and then start an employment search, it's going to be, bless you, it's going to be at least probably not to the start of June of next year on that.
Well, we've already run a couple cost estimate scenarios with full benefits to figure out where it would be, assuming it's employee and not a contracted service, then we have to deal with the payroll taxes and things like that. So we can factor that back to assuming a June 1st start, and we'll be prepared with some funding up.
I mean, if we get a June 1st start, if it's any earlier, that's great. I mean, we just come back and say, hey, we need to move money around or whatever. I mean, the sooner the better, but.
When I spoke about the 1% growth, and we've got all these things pending, I'd like to know, what does that equate to a projected growth for the city? Okay. Are we projecting a 5% growth for next year?
No.
Okay. What are we projecting?
We haven't built any models of property valuation in that respect. We have looked at where we know some of our major costs, like personnel, will be going based upon contracts that we have and whatnot. So, I mean, there I can, you know, we can give you some idea of what we expect next year's budget picture to be, which will be more challenging than this year's.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And that's the point right there. Is the last thing you want to do is hire people, just lay them off a year later. That is a concern. That's the last thing I want to do. Sorry, Mark.
I don't want to look like the bad guy. So, but I want to do the right thing today as well. Okay.
Alderman Schmidt?
Regarding that, the building inspector, how long has it been that we've been shorthanded, so-called, since, was it going back to 2008 or something when?
Well, since I think the document off the top of my head, I believe we eliminated 40% of the department since 2007. Since for just over probably the last year, permits have been climbing back up very steadily, and we've had some larger commercial ones, and we have more that are coming. Hospital seems to have a continuous building practice going. The Rock, because of the nature of how that development went, was exceptionally intensive for inspections because we just had to be out there all the time. The major multifamily by the viaduct there, that was a substantial project. So I would say we've, for the last 8 months, we've been behind. My significant concern is when, and this will be maybe some analysis I'll try to put together for the next meeting for you, Alderman, there is a study that I did, I think, about 2 years ago when we were looking at it. And when building inspection was first given to me to supervise, if you look at the amount of inspections per person, we weren't able to keep up, and complaints were very high. When the economy started tapering off, frankly, it helped make me look good because complaints started to go away. That was just because we got down to a manageable level of inspections and permits per inspector. But we kept cutting, and so we kept ourselves on that edge by cutting down. Well, we're at the bottom possible, and permits are back up. So those inspections and permits per person is back into that same range of 2006 and 2007 when the department wasn't perceived as being able to do anything right. And you'll find yourself back in that boat very quickly. And my concern with a pursuit of economic development, if we get out in front of ourselves with good economic development promoting, but we leave the person who's the frontline person on the development side and we fail there, it will undo any efforts you're making the salesmanship job if everyone says, yeah, don't go there. And we're getting back toward that now.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, that was one of the things that I was trying to get to is the fact what is the time frame basically look like as far as being backed up, and is that how big of a hindrance is that proved to be for people who are waiting in line basically to get their inspections done?
We're back at around the 10-day waiting period, which fits statutorily. That's still considered acceptable. But, for example, when the school permit came through, we had permits that did not get out. And that's when the complaints started coming. I had calls coming directly to me, and I had to explain to people that we had to put the school permit first because it was 4-inch thick, and the school needed to be moving. So there was a lot of time to make sure that's right. It's a state-approved permit, but theirs is more of a stamp. It's not a technical review. When the state approves it, it doesn't mean it's ready to be built the way it is or that our inspectors can walk out and just say, state said it's fine, it's good to go. It just doesn't work that way from a technical construction standpoint. The state's looking at something different when they put their stamp on it.
Alderman Schmidt?
Another thing, I'm just curious, the replacement of a fire department command response vehicle, is this something that has been postponed for a period already? That how outdated is it that the urgency has arrived to this point where we should fund it?
That actual vehicle, I believe, is a 1999, so it's been around for quite a while.
So it's a classic.
Yeah. And that's a vehicle that pretty much goes on every call. It goes on every fire call, and the majority of EMS runs throughout the city, so it is a unit that gets quite a lot of heavy use.
And it is also part of the equipment replacement fund, so it's been an expense we've been known was coming, and it sort of tracked forward every year. I think it was its original retire date, I think, has been pushed back once or twice before.
It probably was in the document shows you when it was.
And another thing, since the county is going to take over fix up the two streets, South North Cape and 68th Street, and we will be assuming ownership of those roads. Is that something will change, like the road funding for like 2015 then, or something? Will we need to budget more money for maintenance of those roads then?
Jack?
On a yearly basis, not much. But ultimately, roads, when they're rebuilt, don't take much maintenance. But over the years, and we've calculated that over a 20-year period, and I think you have it in your packet, but I wouldn't expect any expense next year, because they're going to still be building it. And for the next few years, there would be little expense. We pavement mark it every 2 years.
Which is more than the county does.
But if you try to push it over 20 years, they probably have to be resurfaced 20 or 25 years.
But roads last like 30 years now, don't they, or more?
I mean, well, next year, no.
No. Real quick, back to the inspector. We did send it. We put together a task force to look at all this stuff. We have a development review team, the DART. We have, processes. The mayor did 19 executive orders just like that. Isn't that helped somewhat? First thing. The second thing is, in all the time we'll serve up here, it'll be the only high school expansion you see. You'll never see another rock built like that. I mean, they're called the Rock. I mean, you may have something in Citizens for Community Development, but they're a long way from having anything done. So those are kind of blips. When you have your chart you used to present to us, and maybe you still do, shows where the big projects come in that. Is that in here? Because you didn't do that. But you used to do that. You always would have, we were banking on those blips, those four big projects. Well, this falls in that. Now, if we were on the phone right now, which we're not, having conversations with Northwestern Mutual for a third building next year, that would maybe be, okay, we got something big coming. But we don't necessarily have to react, because we have two projects, one with the Rock that's really wrapping up, and the other one that's just getting underway before we started adding bodies. I mean, I'm not saying I'm 100% opposed to it, but with 1% growth, like Alderman D'Andrea said, with maybe that projected next year.
I would argue that, and I don't know that if they're appropriate ones that I'm able to all say in open session, but I would argue there's a good 6 to 8 that in the first 6 months are going to happen. Next year will be a busy year for building inspection, just with the ones you've seen. I mean, you had a concept review. You can expect that's going to happen. And that will be a pretty intensive inspection, because every one of those individual units probably falls into.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that won't be like doing a simple garage. There's a brand new owner at Fountains of Franklin, I understand. He didn't buy it for the green space. That's a lot of units out there.
Right, but that. And I appreciate what you're telling us, but that would go to the point you're asking to make a decision without really knowing this stuff. And if you publicly, and don't, I'm not saying you publicly start talking about it because you can't, but if there's things like that that this body needs to know before passing a budget, we sure the heck better know it because...
But that's one reason that when I brought you the increase in inspector, we did halftime for 6 months. Because what I fully expect you're going to find, since we've already met by the end of this month, which is today, I believe we will have met or be very, very close to the full year's current building inspection. So my expectation is when you get to the end of the year, you're going to be able to have enough money in the bank from building inspection to get a head start on it paying for itself for next year. So I was counting on the fact that even if for 2 months it slows down, by the end of the year, I have no doubt that you'll be fine for next year because from what we've been told from a couple permits we're going to get in December, they will generate alone enough money to probably fund the first 6 months of the person. So I'm confident that I'll be able to show you revenues in excess of expenditures for this year that will ultimately assure that even if anything happens slow, we're going to have the inspector around and need it to, and have it fully funded so that there's no additional tax levy. Because what I don't want to happen and don't want to sit here and have to argue and explain to you in May is why he's not good. You know, the guy who just asked for a concept review, Mr. Simic, isn't getting the inspection he needs because we've got two people at the school every day, you know, and a lot of those are night inspections. So you've had to increase the overtime for that budget for this year because we've burned it all up doing the night and evening inspections that are involved for the lighting review and the fire alarm reviews, and because you have to test their ambient light levels at so many inches from the ground.
Well, this case you're making is much better than, I'm guessing, some of the other cases you could make. Mark?
Is the option available that we could look at subcontracting services out? And would that be advantageous to the city?
The option is absolutely available, and you will only ever hear me argue that it will not be advantageous to the city. I am a firm believer that, with all due respect to them as profit centers for independent business, I don't believe that their motivation in inspection is the same as a city. They're about profit, and the quicker they can get in and out, the more money they're going to make because they need to do more. We had some issues when we tried that a few years ago. We did, and we had boards used in a project we wouldn't have allowed to be used because they weren't stored properly and they were waterlogged, but they were used in a structure.
Right, but that was over 5.5 years ago because that happened before I got here.
Yeah. Well, and we managed to work it so we don't use the independent inspection. I know I've had other ones. I had a very nice house that was built that had a very nice stairway that was built, and we couldn't approve it because it did not meet the laws of the state of Wisconsin. It simply didn't. It was real clear, and the state said so. But this contractor from Illinois couldn't believe it because he's put these same stairs in other communities, very nice ones. Those communities all used independent inspector, non-employee. They used some other company to do their inspections, and they were approving things that simply weren't legal structures.
Well, Mark, I don't know why we would have hired an Illinois inspector for Wisconsin.
No, that was a stair contractor did most of the work in Illinois and some work in Wisconsin.
And that was on River Terrace. I know the property. I remember those situations.
Yeah,
we did nothing wrong. It wasn't a city issue. It was just that's what they installed and didn't meet our code, and it was a nightmare. But that was nothing what was our fault. That was nothing with
it. I'm just a firm believer that employee inspectors can do the job better because
they have a vested interest. But, you know, Mark.
Okay. Now we've heard a few times mentioned the rock Is there any intergovernmental credits that we get for the police department, the fire department is asking some of their increase in their budget is due to the ROC. Granted, I don't think we get much out of the ROC, do we?
The intergovernmental credit is our property taxes. You know, other than a few nonprofits where we have some payment in lieu of taxes, what we get is property taxes.
So we're funding. Pardon, Paul.
The ROC is located on county-owned land, and so only the personal property that's being added on that site will be additive to the city's assessed property tax base. I had a conversation with the city assessor a couple weeks ago, and even the structures that are being built there will be considered part of the county property and be exempt from property tax.
Because, I mean, Adam has a request for a four-wheeler of some kind to be able to get down into the terrain if someone hurts themselves on down the hill somewhere. And the police department obviously is having calls as well. There was one just the other day about noise. So I'm sure that, you know, I mean, we're looking at increases in our budget due to a business that's in Milwaukee County, but it's adjacent, it's in Franklin's territory for protection. And so, I mean, that's where I know there's going to be increased opportunity in business development. Hopefully that's going to come into the community. But at the onset, this is what is also feeding the requests of the police and the fire is and their increased budgets is to provide services for that area of the city.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I guess herein lies the old saying about we have to have development to make money. When you talk about the extra staff you need, the extra water, the extra road, the extra buildings, development really ends up costing the community money. Redevelopment is probably a better way to go. You get the revenue, you get the increase in building value, and you don't have to put all of the added infrastructure in. So until Franklin gets fully developed, we won't be seeing that. We're under this thing that all development is great and we make money off of it, but we're hearing that's not actually the case all the time. Since I have the floor, Jack, I didn't get a chance to call you back. I apologize. If we have anything, we can catch up afterwards. I will be looking for, on page 104, the roads for the milling overlay. If you could, just outside of the council meeting, talk to me about which roads you're projecting for milling and overlay. And Ms. Liberta, on page 150, the Alderman budget has several memberships. Granted, one of them is the $8,000 for the league. The largest one is over $8,000 for the league. But there are things on here that, since I've been involved in the city and as an Alderman, I don't even know what these are. So could we get a breakdown on if we're actually using all of these? I know they're minor cost, but just so we know. And if they're useful to us, let's let the Alderman know about them so we can make use of them, because we're apparently paying for them out of the Alderman budget. So I don't know what they all are. South Chamber of Commerce, that's an easy one, but broadcast music, Urban Alliance, I don't know what those are, and maybe it's something good.
City Clerk?
We don't have to do it now.
I just want to clarify, since you brought it up, that the ones related to broadcast music and the ASCAP, those are required by state law, federal law. There's three of them that all municipalities that have civic celebrations and play music
So they're not like, they're not things that aldermen are using or can use. They're just in the alderman's budget.
The ones related to the music are...
I was looking forward to a bunch of European composer stuff, too. But.
Well, I was just wondering, if there's something that's useful, maybe I'll...
It gives a blanket protection on licensing rights.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
And a couple of the other one, if you know, just so we know what's in our budget, that would be helpful. What I'd really like to see is a line in here for ink cartridges for the amount of ink that I have to print at home. I don't see that covered here, and since the aldermen haven't had any changes from, it's in our expenses, but we haven't had any, even a 1% increase since 1998, and a price of ink since 1998 is a lot higher now than it was then. So,
well, you could actually print everything here in the alderman's room if you wanted to. A certain alderman.
If it was convenient, if I didn't have to burn the gas to drive from the furthest part to here just to use the machine to burn the gas to drive all the way home, that might make sense. But
right. Jack could give you a tandem.
We have to put something down Loomis Road. Remember, I'm coming from an area where I can't even get onto the bike trail yet.
College is in good shape, though, isn't it? Can't you ride in college?
And then I will also be looking for the question on page 198 about the contingency fund later on. And then I did have a question regarding the landscaping on page 192 and on 214, which is both in the police budget and the building maintenance budget. They both have a landscaping cost in there. These are really minor issues that I just for my information, would like to some little.
I would like to address the contingency one, particularly since this is the first budget for two of the page 198, and this was, I think, referenced in my budget presentation. We historically have a fairly significant appropriation that we carry as a contingency. It serves two purposes. If, for example, you had a major benefactor come and say, here's $500,000, city, go spend it where you want, you still have to have an appropriation to be able to do that. Just because someone gives you revenue, you can't spend it unless you have an appropriation, and that appropriation has to fit within the limits of the state law. If we exceed our expenditure restraint program limit, for example, we could lose, you know, over $200,000 in our revenue, $300,000. So we use that line item to make sure we have some available appropriations if some unusual event came up like that during the year where a significant revenue became available and we wanted to spend it. So it serves that purpose, and by definition, that's precisely what contingency is, anticipated to cover that unusual event. We usually don't expect that to be needed except for in the neighborhood of $50,000 of it. The second purpose that serves, by having that built into the budget in case those events come, that is part of our total expenditure level and budget. And so when we're evaluated against the expenditure restraint program limits by the state, it helps us secure falling within the limits so that state payment of $300,000 stay. So that's why if you look at page 198 and you see $950,000 going down to zero, in each of the last couple years, it's at the end of the budget process where we brought to you a number to recommend to plug in there. But because it is contingency not intended for a specific identified thing, we don't include it in here and just sort of ramp up that expenditure when you're first dealing with it. But you can probably anticipate that we'll be looking for about the same number. We have about a room of, I think, about $1.2 million space underneath. I don't think we need to go that far. We did in a prior year. I think the $950,000 is probably good. I would not suggest going below $750,000. I like the idea of keeping it at the same level, and that gives us plenty of room in the future when we do some projecting ahead for where expenditures can go. That gives us plenty of gap to be able to absorb what could happen in the future as well.
So at what point will we see this minus 88.4% change?
The last 2 years, it's been sort of the last act that you've incorporated and given us as guidance to do. But I can tell you right now, I anticipate recommending that we plug in the same $950,000. So if you just want us to work with that assumption, and as we're making any changes you ask for, build that into it, we can do that at this point.
Okay. Mark?
I just have one other one, because it, I'm forgetting the name of the road and trail over on the west side. North Cape. In the pages that I passed out that tried to clean up the capital improvement presentation, hopefully you find that a better read. In putting that together, I did notice that we used funding for North Cape of the impact fee of 60% of 60%. So we actually can apply more impact fee revenue toward that project, which would then have more fund balance at the end of the year and go towards eliminating that borrowing shown as potentially needed for next year. So without any objection from the alderman, that's probably a sheet we'll work on, because that has some ripple effect in some tables in the front end and the totals, and give Paul a head start. But my expectation is that the alderman would prefer to use as much impact fee funding as legally allowable and possible on that project.
I think the finance officer probably would like that too.
Yeah. So without any objection, we'll work on updating that to add some added impact fee.
Okay. Any other questions? Timetable now. So the plan would be that the mayor's recommended budget that's sitting before us will be what's put to publication. Am I correct that we'll have the public hearing on November 4th? Is that the next time we'll be discussing the budget? So we have between now and then to ask more questions, deliberate, or?
Two comments on that. Technically, it's on your agenda for tomorrow night just because of Committee of the Whole. So
right.
If you wanted to discuss
we could.
More, you could.
Right.
We'll be prepared.
Okay.
The other thing the calendar has is it anticipated if you didn't get all your answers today and you still wanted to pursue.
What date was that?
That was October 7th. It was listed on your calendar. You are having a special Common Council meeting, I believe, that night. So. Unless if you're believing you need more discussion other than waiting for the public hearing. Now, the public hearing, historically, I think the budget falls then the next day. So the public hearing is scheduled for November 4th.
Which is a Monday.
Adoption of the budget on the Tuesday.
Right.
So the purpose of this meeting in October 7th, if you need it, is to try and pin down where you're going to be on that so that you can still have a budget adopted November 5th to help make sure we can get the property tax.
The night of the public hearing, we can make all that. Is that Committee of the Whole? Right? That's Committee of the Whole. If we don't do it October 7th, we can do everything we need to do discussion-wise after the public hearing. And I'm almost positive that's what we did last year. But we did anything, which we didn't do a heck of a lot. There were some minor changes, but we did it all that night.
Yeah, you did do more that night as well. But on the timetable, these days we're anticipating.
Okay. Well, I suppose if the council is prepared, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if I'll be ready by the 7th, but if others are ready next week, Monday, to make. I mean, obviously, you can tomorrow night, but I'm not sure if anybody's ready for tomorrow. If not, the 7th, and if there's additional, the following, or if they could.
And the following regular Common Council meeting, you can still put it on the agenda to discuss. You just won't be able to change the numbers that go to the public hearing.
Right.
Because by the 10th, we have to have our tables ready and get it published. So.
And like I said, last...
It doesn't mean you can't have more budget discussion.
It'll go publish with this new information? Or the one that's in there now?
We can make that change tomorrow. If you want to if there's any cleanup stuff you were mentioning tonight.
You can do that motion in the Committee of the Whole. That's actually the way the ordinance is suggested.
To put these, insert these in.
I guess I would welcome a tentative motion,
right.
Or a motion to tentatively adopt those with the addition of the additional impact fee money for North Cape Road, and then that would be incorporated into the budget.
What about the $950,000 that you talked about? Do you want us to incorporate that also so we work off of that number?
Might as well. That's part of our plan. We know it is. Let's...
Alderman, you want to make those...
Does that change the zero base?
No. None of those changes will affect the zero property tax.
Okay. Alderman, you want to make that motion?
Motion to...
We make the motion tomorrow night.
You can do it. He can do it right now.
Yeah, the ordinance specifically says that the committee of the whole, in this case, can make a motion that affects the budget that goes to the public hearing.
And what about the EDC position?
If you wanted that included in the budget that goes to public hearing, to say it's already built in the Common Council's plan, then you have to give us direction on that before October 10th.
But that would possibly affect the 0%. That would affect.
Yeah, unless you
depending on how you chose to fund that position.
Correct. And I think we'll be creative in our funding.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
My thought would be, besides these changes that don't really change anything.
Yes.
We let that go to the general public, and then we have time to be able to deliberate and get more information. I mean, I think there's been questions brought up by a number of the aldermen. One loves it. One loves everything that's right here. So, Dan, Alderman Mayor.
Thank you. I've had some questions, and I've talked to some of the department heads individually, and I'm satisfied with the budget. I would just like to thank Mark and Polly and Jack and all the department heads here for all their hard work in getting this budget. And I probably would feel differently if it wasn't a zero budget, but I think everybody's done a great job on this. Thanks.
Yeah, same for me. I'm satisfied. Zero budget, the department heads are all talked. They can live with it. I think the mayor's done a great job on it. We should move forward with it.
Well, we are moving forward with it, but at least tonight, but I'll have recommendations. I'm not quite sure which ones I'm going to have, and I hear from a few other aldermen that there'll be recommendations. So those will be up and down votes, amendment by amendment. So we'll deal with that as they come, whether it's tomorrow night, whether it's the 7th, whether it's the 4th. But there's going to, you know, I see some issues, and I brought them up this evening. So, Alderman Wilton, you made a motion.
Do you have a suggestion?
Suggestion was what I stated: a motion to tentatively approve modifying the mayor's recommended budget to incorporate the changes presented to the capital improvement fund, and including increasing the impact fee revenue for the North Cape Trail to the maximum allowable.
And the $950,000.
Yeah.
That should be Alderman Skaronski's motion. It's in his district.
I agree with that. Your motion was very fine. I'll approve what you said because it's on tape. So
we have a second?
Second.
Under discussion? Seeing all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. That's all. We're adjourned.